Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have a very, very busy day. Breaking news, Jeremy Pruitt out. Fired for cause by the University of Tennessee. Two other assistants are also out. We'll get to those details in just a second. We are loaded. The press conference from Knoxville starting momentarily. And when that press conference starts, we will have it for you right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, will join us for the entire 4 o'clock hour. He will join us in studio. So we'll have Trevor's reaction to the news at Tennessee. We will have, he will take your calls. So we are absolutely loaded. Joe Rexroad later today as well with his thoughts on the Tennessee coaching search. And I guess it's going to be another coaching search. I guess it's another athletic director search because, again, on top of the news about Pruitt, who, again, is being fired for cause, Philip Fulmer has decided to retire. Now, Donda Plowman, who is the chancellor at Tennessee, did an exclusive interview with the Knoxville News Sentinel, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot of her thoughts echoed in the press conference, but she said that Fulmer resigning is on his own and that it has nothing to do with the allegations of misconduct which are forthcoming to Jeremy Pruitt and to the University of Tennessee. Tennessee has brought in Parker Executive Search to aid in the hiring of their new athletic director. Tennessee has also, in its termination letter to Jeremy Pruitt, said, quote, "Your failures are likely to lead to significant penalties to the university and has jeopardized the eligibility of our student athletes." Tennessee continues in their letter to Pruitt. "The university concluded that the NCAA will likely find that you failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance within the program." That is not good. Tennessee says, again, according to David Ubbin, Tennessee says on November 13th, it was given information suggesting serious NCAA violations in the program. It notified the NCAA, and an active NCAA investigation is ongoing. Tennessee's also fired assistants. Shelton Felton, okay, and Brian Niedermeyer, and they are also being fired for cause. So as we continue, we will have the press conference from Tennessee. But as of right now, I think there are a lot of question marks. And the first question I have to start off with is, what are they going to tell us today about the allegations against Jeremy Pruitt? You know, Jeremy Pruitt, and I read the Knoxville News Sentinel, and I read what the chancellor told the Knoxville News Sentinel, and it all seems to be very serious. In fact, one line that she said in that Knoxville News article that at least stood out to me was about how serious these infractions could be, saying, quote, "None of us wanted this for our football program. The scope of the actions should indicate to you that the number of violations is significant and the number of people involved is significant and the deliberate efforts to conceal these activities from our compliance office." So they seem convinced that they have the evidence on Jeremy Pruitt and that they not only have the evidence on Pruitt, but they have the evidence that Pruitt and the recruiting office tried to conceal the information from their compliance department. Basically, they tried to hide the evidence. And that'll get you fired. The question that I want to know, and I know what they're going to tell us, because you cannot fire a football coach for being 3-7 and justify it for cause to get out from $12-plus million. But is that really why Jeremy Pruitt got fired? Did Philip Fulmer really step down on his own? And I don't think they're going to answer these questions for you in this press conference. Maybe they will. Maybe they will directly tell you, hey, this is what we found. And maybe what they found is so bad that they can't fix it. But the question has to be, what are these allegations and how bad is it? So again, when we get the press conference in Knoxville, we will have the press conference for you as we are awaiting that. And again, Jeremy Pruitt, the truth is UT fans are not upset about Jeremy Pruitt being gone. Now they want to know how bad the allegations are going to be. And Ian, do we have that press conference? Okay, so we are efforting the UT press conference. But I continue to think in my head that would they really have fired Jeremy Pruitt if he was, say, 7-3 instead of 3-7? Would he really be fired at Tennessee? And again, they're not going to tell you the reality of the situation until all of the charges are announced. Okay, let's go live to the press conference in Knoxville.
Letters to the following. Assistant football coaches Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton. Also, four members of our on-campus football recruiting staff. Additionally, our director and assistant director of football player personnel. And finally, a football analyst quality control coach. That brings me to the question of our head coach. Coach Jeremy Pruitt is the leader of the football program. He is responsible for hiring assistant coaches and the staff and making sure that those who report to him comply with the NCAA rules. This is written into his employment contract. In addition, under the NCAA bylaws, he is presumed responsible for the actions of all staff members who report to him, either directly or indirectly. Coach Pruitt hired and was responsible for monitoring all nine employees that we have issued termination letters to today. Based upon what we know, it is clear that Coach Pruitt did not adequately promote an atmosphere of compliance and or monitor the activities of the coaches and the staff who reported to him. Accordingly, today, Athletic Director Fulmer and I agree that we have no choice but to move forward with terminating Coach Pruitt. He was provided his termination letter this afternoon. This is not what any of us want for our football program or for our university. What is so disturbing, as demonstrated by the scope of these employment actions we are announcing today, is the number of violations and the number of people involved, and their efforts to conceal their activities from our compliance staff and from leadership within the athletic department. Most of all, we deeply regret the impact this may have on our many student athletes, particularly the vast majority of our football players who've had no involvement in this matter at all. We have a path forward. Philip and I agree that defensive assistant coach Kevin Steele should be named acting head coach. Although he only recently joined the Volunteers, he has the right leadership experience, having been a former head coach at Baylor and defensive coordinator at Auburn. He also served as the interim head coach at Auburn and is widely considered a top recruiter. Coach Steele has deep volunteer roots, having played here and coached here in the past. We will give him the support he needs to keep the program moving forward towards success. Philip and I also discussed the need to search for a new head coach as soon as possible. In the course of that discussion, Philip concluded he thought it best and suggested that a new coach and a new athletic director form a partnership that could provide long-term stability and success for our football program. And he suggested that I hire a new athletics director to select the new head football coach. As you know, Philip came out of retirement to take his current position and never intended for it to be long-term. Philip has offered to bridge the gap and stay in his position until a new athletic director is ready to take over. And you will hear more from him in a moment. But I do want to emphasize this. Philip Fulmer is demonstrating why he's a legend at UT. Once again, agreeing to serve the university he loves. And I want to thank him, Philip, and for his family's commitment to the University of Tennessee. And I also want to underscore there is no allegation, nor has anything been said that suggested that Philip was in any way involved or knew anything about any of this. I have relied on Philip's counsel since the day I arrived, and I will continue to rely on his assistance and advice even after he retires as athletic director. His sterling reputation in college athletics and his knowledge will be assets to us, to me, as these next two searches proceed. We have already enlisted the services of Parker Executive Search Firm to lead the search for a new athletic director. Our plan is to have a new athletic director in place as soon as possible, and we're optimistic about our future and our ability to attract a strong leader who will then hire the right football coach. Now, I realize many people would prefer we make those hires in the opposite order, but I hope everyone will accept the judgment that this is the way for us to have the long-term success we all want, for now and for the long term. We feel a profound sense of responsibility to get this right for our student athletes, our staffs, and fans, and I am highly confident we will do so. Thank you, and now I'd like Athletic Director Fulmer to say a few words.
Well, thank you, Dondi. None of us obviously are pleased to be here under these circumstances. We are all deeply disappointed in the individuals who engaged in the behavior described in the report that we received. As the Chancellor explained, our general counsel and law firm gave us the report, and it became clear to both of us that new leadership was necessary in the football program. The unexpected need to hire a new coach caused me to reevaluate my place in the organization. I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more, and I am confident that we will find that coach, but also am confident that he will want and need to know who his athletic director is going to be for the duration. I asked Chancellor Plowman if we could revisit my position, and she agreed. My thoughts are, I'm 70 years old. I am not going to be the athletic director at age 80. It was always my expectation I would move on from athletics sooner rather than later. It only makes sense that I make that move this semester so that a new coach with a new athletic director can implement their vision together. To our great alumni and fans and friends, I am deeply sorry that we have arrived at this day in our history. To my staff and support groups and faculty and administration, I want to say a hearty thank you for everything that you've done for me in my time here as the athletic director. We have many fine young men, coaches, and administrators in our program. We all know that UT has an outstanding history in academics and athletics. It also demands that we do things the right way and within the rules. I'm proud of that. And we can do that and compete in the greatest conference in the country. As hard as it is, this is a fresh start. I really appreciate Kevin Steele stepping in and helping. He wanted to come home and help his school any way that he could. I appreciate the leaders of our football team and our remaining staff, and I know they will do an outstanding job holding it together and helping to get football back on track. I will tell our current players and new signees, and will tell future players, this is a great place to go to school and a great place to play football. As dark as this day is, there's a light. I ask our great alumni and fans to be supportive and lift up this program as we fight through these difficult times. Thank you, and I believe that President Randy Boyd would like to make some remarks, and then we'll be happy to take your questions.
Thank you, Coach. Well, I share Chancellor Plowman's and Coach Fulmer's disappointment. None of us are happy to be here today under these circumstances, but I also share Dondi and Phillips' optimism for the future. The future is bright, and the steps we have announced today will help assure that it is. I want to emphasize that we are prepared to take firm action, not only to those that we discipline who may have acted badly, but to ensure that everyone understands the culture of our entire University of Tennessee system, that we put integrity first. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. If there is anyone in our athletics departments in Knoxville or elsewhere who hasn't heard that message yet, you're hearing it now. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. I want to commend the Chancellor and the university leadership for taking firm action, for taking it the right way. Like all of you, I've been reading the papers in recent weeks, and I've read the speculation and the pressure that has been placed on Chancellor Plowman to act. But integrity starts at the top. And she understood the only way to handle this matter was to let the independent investigation take its course without interference. When the investigation reached a point that she had enough information to make informed decisions, she acted decisively and has taken a course in which she has my full support and also that of the chairman, Compton, and the full board of directors. Lastly, I want to echo Chancellor Plowman when she said about the incredible legacy of Philip Fulmer. Coach, this university owes you a deep debt of gratitude for all that you've done to make the Volunteer Nation proud. We're as proud of you today as we were that night in Tempe when you hosted that trophy above your head. You have never stopped working to make your university better, and our values that you have made, you are a great ambassador for Tennessee. Our overall athletics program is better and on a more equal footing because of your leadership. I want to thank you for standing with Chancellor Plowman as we make this very important transition in our athletic department. And like Chancellor Plowman, I look forward to your continued contributions and guidance as we move forward in our search for new leaders. We know you love Tennessee, and you should know Tennessee loves you back. We appreciate you.
Thank you, President Boyd, A.D. Fulmer, and Chancellor Plowman. We're going to open the floor up to questions. Casey has a microphone. She will walk around. Jimmy?
Any idea when the ongoing investigation will be complete?
Don't have a good feel for that. We hope it's nearing its final stages, but then the NCAA also continues on their own. So our part of it, we hope, is completed fairly soon.
Yes.
That, when did the NCAA actually start getting involved in this investigation? When did you guys bring them along? And how has that process been over the last few weeks?
So they became our counsel, involved them, and I know that they've been involved more actively in the last week to 10 days. I think that's right, Tisha, something like that.
Yes.
When you look back at the last 3 years, how do you think Jeremy Pruitt's tenure is going to be remembered here?
Coach, do you want to start with that one?
Yes. We found the program, you know, in quite a mess at the time. I think we definitely have upgraded the program in general, relationships on campus. Relationships, period. Certainly the recruiting has been good. There's some really outstanding young men in the program, not that there wasn't before. Definitely there's just lots of good things that have happened. This is very unfortunate, in the sense we're going to have to work really hard to keep it from setting us back.
Brent.
Chancellor, in the documents that was put out, it said that you hired a search firm for the athletic director on the 16th of January. Coach Fulmer, when did you go to the chancellor and about the decision to retire, and was that prior to knowing that you were going to make, that this decision was going to be made today in terms of the termination of Coach Pruitt, or was that made afterwards? I'm trying to figure out the timing, because it appears you hired a search firm for a new athletics director at the end of last week before today's termination was announced today.
That search firm conducts searches for athletic directors and football coaches, and it was an opportunity. We did that after Philip and I had talked,
But it gives us the opportunity to have them available when we need them for either of these two searches.
Jordan?
When Kevin Steele was hired last week, was he kind of given privy to this investigation, and did he know there was a chance that he may be serving as active head coach?
He did not know that he may be serving as active head coach. He did know that there was an investigation going on.
Trey.
When,
Madison.
Oh, I'm sorry. When the allegations were brought towards you and the multiple staff members, I think I count a total of 10 people that were let go today, were you surprised how deep this actually went into this investigation and the people that were involved in this? And what was the communication process between you, Chancellor, and the athletic director, Philip Fulmer?
So, athletic director, I'll start. Phil, we were briefed extensively, and President Boyd was there as well on Friday. And it was stunning, the number of people involved, as I said in my comments, and the number of incidents. And so, yes, that was shocking. And that's partly what you see in the level of the actions that were taken today.
I think you answered it.
Madison?
Mrs. Palman, can you just speak to the level of NCAA violations we might be looking at? Are we looking at a level one or a level two with this many people involved? And also with the violations, how are you going to address future head coaches that you interview that might have a violation that they're walking into?
So what our counsel has told us is that we're looking at level one and level two violations. I don't know yet exactly how many or exactly the specifics of it. I think that we want to win here, but we want to win with integrity. And we're going to be looking for coaches who have that same philosophy. And I'm very optimistic that there are many of them out there. And I underscore what the president said. And so that will be important criteria. But let me say again, our first action is to hire an athletic director. And that person then will, in conversation with a number of us, begin that process of looking for a football coach.
David and then Blake.
As you look to next year, how many athletes have jeopardized eligibility at the moment as a result of the investigation that might not be on the field in the fall?
So that's a question I can't answer. I would like to give you everything, but I don't have it. So I don't want to do anything that violates any names or confidences.
Blake?
Chancellor, how far back do these violations date? Are they contained within Coach Pruitt's coaching tenure? And then second part of the question, what qualities and experience are you looking for in the next athletic director?
So these are incidents that came up during Coach Pruitt's tenure. I can't say much more than that about when they started, what all they were. And the last part of your question was, what are the qualities I'm looking for in an athletic director? We're looking for someone who is a strong leader and who has principles and values, who also has experience in hiring coaches, and who can help us look towards the future. We've got a great future here. And as disappointed as we are, we're determined to get this right and to get a good person in place, both as AD and as head coach. So I think leadership and integrity are huge, and then experience in this role before will be important as well.
Go Wes and then Jimmy.
I believe you said that you had a credible source at the beginning that got this thing kick-started. Did that come from inside or outside of the building?
That source was someone who seemed credible to us. I really don't want to reveal much more about that, but it was very credible. Let me just leave it at that.
Jimmy?
Two things. One, Coach Fulmer, will you assist with the hiring of your replacement? Jimmy, say that again, please. Will you assist in the hiring of your replacement? If Chancellor Plowman asks me to, I'll be glad to help. She asked me to.
Let me just say that also one of the things we're going to do in this next search is, as I said, use a search process And I'm going to be seeking advice from Philip, from Randy, from John Compton, from other people, as well as the experts with the firm on how to go about this and what names might be the ones we want to go after.
And secondly, Chancellor, do you intend to have a negotiated buyout with Coach Pruitt? Do you intend to not pay him anything? Where do you stand with his buyout?
His termination was for cause, which means no buyout.
We have time for one more.
What do you tell the parents of football players that are out there right now, maybe across the street in Stokely or coming back to campus? How do you explain this to them? Will you be holding any kind of Zoom conversation with them? What are the next few days going to look like when it comes to talking to current athletes? Because they start class tomorrow, so there's an opportunity that maybe presents them to go somewhere else.
Now, this is a very crucial time for that very thing. We have a team meeting this afternoon that will address our team. We have a big enough team room that we can spread out and be safe with the virus and everything. I'll address them. Donnie will be present to do so, and Coach Steele will be there as well. As I said earlier, this is a great place to go to school, a great place to get an education and play sports. With this challenge that we have, there's actually opportunities, you know, for more and more people to look at the university as this transfer portal that's out there has created havoc all over the country. So as many challenges as we have, also look at it as there's opportunities there as well. We've got a very credible staff. We've got a fantastic facility. We've got a great brand name, and we will work diligently to keep our players here and welcome the new ones, and then continue the recruiting process that's going on right now till February 3rd.
Sure.
I'll let Donnie conclude, and I would just like to make a comment. Since I'm not going to be there for this afternoon with the players, but I want to stress this point to the current players, to future players, and their parents. If you would put integrity first, then this is the place you want to come to. I'm hopeful that parents and students that want to come to a place that puts integrity first, then they'll want to come to the University of Tennessee.
I would like to just conclude by saying, you know, when student-athletes come here, there's at least three things we're committed to doing. One is helping them achieve what they want to achieve with their sport. We're helping them get an education. And the third and important thing is we're training future leaders. And our student-athletes are going to be the leaders of this state and this country. And we take that seriously, and nothing about this decision changes any of our ability and continuous efforts in those areas. You know, this fall I met with almost every sport team at the invitation of Philip. We went around to almost every one of our teams. And when you meet our athletes, you just see the most amazing students. Many of them have come to school with hardships and disappointments. And they, some of them already know that life has challenges and uncertainties, and I'm really counting on them to step forward and to continue to lead with, as we see them do every single day on this campus. And they remind us every day why we're doing what we're doing. And they're inspiring, and I want their parents to hear that and the parents of future Vols to hear that. It's important to us.
Thank you all. I appreciate everyone coming.
So that's the press conference. Don D. Plowman, the chancellor at Tennessee. Randy Boyd, the president of Tennessee. Philip Fulmer, the retiring athletic director at the University of Tennessee. A lot of things to get into. And I got a ton of reaction to it. We're going to get into that coming up. But just the basics. Jeremy Pruitt fired for cause. Nine others within the football department fired today for cause. Kevin Steele will take over as interim coach. They want to hire an athletic director first. Then they want to hire a real coach. I don't know how they get this right for the 2021 season without Kevin Steele being the interim head coach for the 2021 season, but that's neither here nor there. Another thing that stood out to me is how much Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd both kissed Philip Fulmer's butt in that press conference. It was a total kissing of the rings. Why? I don't know. The man's so great, why don't you just keep him there? But apparently Fulmer wants to retire. Fulmer says that the next coach will be there for 10 years and he's not going to be there. A lot of things I didn't believe from the press conference. A lot of things I'm not believing right now as far as Tennessee is concerned. And I want to get to that coming up next, and that's what we will do. 615-737-1025. Phone lines, text line, both wide open for your reaction to what we just heard from UT's brass. What can we take away from it? What do we believe? What do we not believe? 615-737-1025 is that phone number. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025. The game. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is your home for betting here in Nashville. It's my official sportsbook app, and we're using it right now for basketball. Basketball's back, and you know what that means. It's time to fire up the FanDuel Sportsbook app. From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there are so many ways to bet on FanDuel. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. When you win, my friends at FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you sign up today, FanDuel will let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. They'll give you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. And when you do win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. You don't have to track down some shady guy to find your money. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. That's right, promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Side credits not withdrawable. Expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach Jeremy Pruitt is the leader of the football program. He is responsible for hiring assistant coaches and the staff and making sure that those who report to him comply with the NCAA rules. This is written into his employment contract. In addition, under the NCAA bylaws, he is presumed responsible for the actions of all staff members who report to him, either directly or indirectly. Coach Pruitt hired and was responsible for monitoring all 9 employees that we have issued termination letters to today.
That was Dondi Plowman, the chancellor at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt out. Level 1, level 2 violations. Philip Fulmer to retire, but not before a whole chorus of butt-kissing surrounded Philip Fulmer, which, again, I found to be incredibly weird and maybe not even one of the 6 weirdest things about this whole situation. Again, Jeremy Pruitt is out. Kevin Steele is in as the interim head coach. Now, I don't know the level of violations. And again, you heard first and secondary or, you know, level 1, level 2 violations. And on paper, that sounds bad. And a lot of times, level one violations get coaches fired. But a lot of times recently, level one violations have not gotten coaches fired. And I put up a poll on Twitter. Do you buy that Jeremy Pruitt was actually fired because of recruiting violations? Right now, 44% say yes. 55% say no, he sucks. Because if he was 7-3 instead of 3-7, I think Jeremy Pruitt is still the coach at Tennessee. Now, I do not know how much or how deep these violations go. But I would just say this about level one violations. I've watched people defend USC and Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll and that program. I watched them defend the program with the allegations going on. I watched Ole Miss defend their coach and their coach defend whether or not he was cheating or whether or not he should be liable when we saw screenshots of text messages from Laramie Tunsil asking a coach for money and the coach obliging. So we saw that and Ole Miss was okay with it. I watch people defend Rick Pitino when we had proof that prostitutes were going into the dorm to mingle with recruits and probably do a little bit more than mingling. And Rick said, I didn't know. And I watched an entire athletic department and an entire fan base say, there's no way Rick knew Rick should stay on as coach. And he did stay on as coach. I watched Memphis basketball last year get the number one recruit in the country, who Penny Hardaway paid to move, and when the NCAA said, don't play the kid, Memphis said, no, we're going to play the kid. The NCAA proactively told them, don't play him. Memphis said, no, 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 we're going to play him. By the way, Memphis loves Penny. Penny's still coaching. Auburn had an assistant coach in basketball arrested by the FBI. Bruce Pearl did not cooperate with Auburn's investigation into the matter. And Bruce Pearl is still the coach at Auburn. Oh, and by the way, Auburn went to the Final Four. Call me crazy. Maybe I don't, and I don't know Donde Plowman. I don't know Randy Boyd. I know Philip Fulmer, but I don't know the other two. Maybe they really do believe that at the University of Tennessee, we are here to do things the right way, that we will go by the book, and if you don't, then damn it, you can't work here. Maybe that's the case. We just heard that in the press conference. But does anybody actually believe that you can win at big level college football if you don't bend the rules a little bit? I'm not throwing out any accusations. So I'm just going to mention a whole bunch of names at one time. Florida, A&M, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Arkansas. You know what? I think there's a chance that if you go digging around each one of those college football programs inside the recruiting office, there's an email, there's a text, there's a money order, there's a check, there's a something. And I'm not a huge believer in it's okay because everybody else does it. If you get caught, you get caught. You got to deal with the consequences. But I just really wonder, where is the source of Tennessee's desire to fire Jeremy Pruitt with cause? Is the desire to fire him because these violations were so egregious that they literally didn't have a choice? It's like, Jeremy, we have the email that says, how would you like the money? Would you like it wired to you? Would you like a check? And we have a copy of the check dated November 13th, 2019, signed by Jeremy Pruitt. That is your signature. That is your bank account, right? Okay, we have all the evidence. Jeremy, you got to go. Now, it could be that bad. And if it is that bad, then he's got to go. But remember, Bruce Pearl's still at Auburn. Rick Pitino got a second chance at it at Louisville when they had a hookers in the dorm. So I've seen the other side of it. Or is it what I find to be infinitely more likely, which is that the University of Tennessee said, why did we give this guy an extension before the season? Now we can't fire him and pay the $12 million or the $13 million or whatever it is. So they went and found something. They went and found something. They found it. It was there. Sounds to be pretty bad, because the other nine guys getting thrown all, you know, getting thrown under the bus, that they're not trying to fire those guys. They found something. He was bad. That was their opportunity. They brought in Kevin Steele last week. If you didn't see this coming a mile away when they brought in Kevin Steele, then I'm sorry, because we did on this show. So they brought in Kevin Steele, and then they fired Jeremy Pruitt with cause. By the way, I don't think, man, maybe, again, maybe I'm wrong. I'm speculating on all of this. I'm just using common sense. I'm not sure that Donde Plowman and Randy Boyd and Philip Fulmer have any new information today that they didn't have Friday, that they didn't have Saturday. Because if you wanted to throw this under the news cycle, you would have released it on Friday or Saturday before the NFL playoff games, while there's all of this drama going on in Washington, D.C. that is controlling the news. And now that'll probably pass because, again, there's more news coming out of Washington, D.C. all the time. But they're not trying to hide this. 2 o'clock press conference on a Monday. They are not trying to hide this. So they threw Pruitt under the bus. They kissed Fulmer's butt. Again, look, everybody knows Philip Fulmer is a legendary coach at the University of Tennessee. You don't need to tell us that 15 times in the press conference where all you talk about is the fact that the one guy he was responsible for hiring, you're firing today because the guy cheated. And by the way, the guy's not a good coach. But they spent half that press conference kissing Philip Fulmer's butt. And I don't understand why they had to do that. So, again, I don't know these people. I do not know Dondi Plowman. I do not know Randy Boyd. I don't know these people. They could be incredibly honest, and they could be incredibly transparent, and everything that they could be telling us could be the absolute truth, and Jeremy Pruitt just screwed up that bad. But I just don't buy it. In big-time college athletics, and everybody associated with the University of Tennessee seems to act like the University of Tennessee is big-time when it comes to athletics. Nobody does everything by the book. So to get up on the high horse and say, hey, if you can't do things the right way, you can't coach here. That, we don't hear that in college athletics much because, well, nobody does it. So, again, maybe Jeremy Pruitt was so sloppy, or Brian Niedermeyer was so sloppy, or Shelton Felton was so sloppy that there's literally a check signed and dated and an email from Jeremy Pruitt that says, all right, go ahead and send him the $250,000, all right? But come on now. I mean, the guy's coaching Georgia and Alabama. You learn how to get away with recruiting in the SEC at those places. It just feels very deliberate to me. It feels very dishonest to me that this is all about Pruitt, this is all about recruiting violations, and this has nothing to do with the fact that we owe this guy a bunch of money, and we know he sucks, and we know he can't coach, and we want to get rid of him. And I don't think that's a good look. And I don't think that's going to help you get in other coaches that want to come in, take over a mess where you're telling the world, hey, we've got a bunch of recruiting violations going on here. We're going to have the NCAA up our rear end for the next couple of years. But come on to the University of Tennessee, where if you're not good, we will fire you and not pay you because we'll go out of our way to find something. Because that's the vibe I have right now. Your reaction, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. How do you feel about the news today? The phone lines are open at 615-737-1025. The text line is open at 615-737-1025. We will get to those reactions coming up. And I got a lot of thoughts on the UT coaching search. A ton today. And why one thing that Vol fans keep saying that they really want, I'm not so sure is actually possible. We'll get to that later today as well. 615-737-1025. Still many companies delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
None of us obviously are pleased to be here under these circumstances. We are all deeply disappointed in the individuals who engaged in the behavior described in the report that we received. As the Chancellor explained, our general counsel and law firm gave us the report, and it became clear to both of us that new leadership was necessary in the football program. The unexpected need to hire a new coach caused me to reevaluate my place in the organization. I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more. And I am confident that we will find that coach, but also am confident that he will want and need to know who his athletic director is going to be for the duration. I asked Chancellor Plowman if we could revisit my position, and she agreed.
That was Philip Fulmer, new AD incoming. And again, don't ask anybody at Tennessee if Philip Fulmer was the problem with the Jeremy Pruitt thing, because they will tell you Fulmer had nothing to do with it. Fulmer was not. Fulmer's great. He's the best. He's a legend. We're going to lean on him heavily, and he's not going to be here anymore. And maybe it was Fulmer's call. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy. I'm really not. I believe in if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. Chances are it's a duck. And that's how I feel about the Tennessee situation. Text into the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville says, I don't love the hiring the AD prior to hiring the coach. Who are we kidding? This is football and football related, and the AD is irrelevant. So I absolutely completely disagree with almost everything except for at the University of Tennessee, football is the most important avenue. And when you're hired to be AD at Tennessee, yeah, you're in charge of the other sports, but you're really in charge of the football program. You're basically the general manager of the University of Tennessee's football program when you become the athletic director there. I think it's a good idea to hire the athletic director before you hire the head coach. I just don't know how realistic it is to get everything you want to done as quickly as you want to do it. So it'd be really nice to have a new athletic director in a week. It'd be really nice to have a new athletic director in 2 weeks. Where are you going to find an athletic director? Where are you going to hire an athletic director? By the way, when your football program is openly facing level one and level two violations, in which you say are so egregious that you had to fire your head coach, chances are an athletic director is going to be a little cautious about taking the job. So you got to do all of that first, and you have to maintain your football program, and you have to have an idea of what you're going to be able to give a coach, because make no mistake, Jeremy Pruitt's going to sue the University of Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt's going to try to get some money out of the University of Tennessee, because that's what everybody does in this scenario. So all that's going on, and you got to hire an AD, and then you got to turn around, and you got to hire a coach. And then you got to hire a good coach, because as we learned a couple years ago, if you hire a bad coach, Twitter's going to lose their mind and they're going to make you veto that coaching hire. It's a total mess at the University of Tennessee. Now, I like the idea of the outline of we're going to have to hire the AD first. Let's be honest, folks. This is going to be painful. This is not going to be easy on the fans or the players or whoever takes over as coach. This is going to be very, very painful. This is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Basically, everything that's happened over the last 6 years at the University of Tennessee, with everything you didn't like about Butch Jones and the way they fired Butch Jones and the way they ran off John Curry and the way they brought in Fulmer and the way they hired Pruitt and the unmitigated disaster on the field that was, it's going to take you so much time to dig yourself out of that hole. And you need an athletic director who's strong enough and willing to do it. Texter says, this was clearly an easy excuse to fire Pruitt. They should have waited on extending him. But Jared, I believe you said it was too early to extend him when they did, and you probably were correct. Yes. I mean, if you looked at the first 2 years of Pruitt's tenure, I kept saying, there's no, and let's forget about the violations in recruiting. If you looked at the first couple of years of Pruitt's tenure, there was really no difference between that and Butch Jones, except that Butch Jones had found a quarterback, which in football is obviously very important. When Tennessee announced in September, late September, Tennessee announced that they were extending Jeremy Pruitt. We started the show on this, and I said, how can you extend this guy? He's done an okay job. When you do an okay job, you don't get an extension. You don't get fired. You just keep doing your job, and then you hope that you'll do a better job, and then you get the extension. And it made no sense to me. And everybody said, well, Fulmer's got to prove Pruitt's his guy, and Fulmer's got to, and he's got to, yeah, and he's got, because fans are optimistic. Fans like Jeremy Pruitt. Fans thought, you know, the idea of being 3-7 this year was not possible, and then it all happened. And now you've given this guy the extension, so you can't just easily fire him. And now what do you do? Oh, we got some recruiting violations? Well, says in the contract, recruiting violations, fired for cause. If Hugh Freeze was 3-7 and the Laramie Tunsil allegations came out, you think he'd have kept his job at Ole Miss? In fact, the only reason Freeze lost his job at Ole Miss was because when the university was looking to fire him, they saw the phone records of him calling prostitutes. When Rick Pitino had the prostitutes in the dorm, you think if they wanted to fire him for cause, they could have done it? They could have easily done that. They didn't. Why did they not do it? Because he was winning in basketball. And again, Auburn, when Chuck Pearson got arrested and Bruce Pearl was not cooperating with the internal investigation, Auburn could have fired him. They didn't, because he got them to the Final Four. So, yeah, I think this was all an excuse to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt. But I think it's one that you pay for down the road. I think it's one that ultimately will hurt you. And I would just say be careful about that. Harmon texts into the text line, says, Dondi Plowman said there was a cover-up. That may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. The cover-up's never a good look. I've always said that you always get in more trouble for your reaction than you do for your actual action. And when you don't tell the truth to the FBI, or you don't tell the truth to the IRS, or you don't tell the truth to the NCAA or to your bosses, then you get in double trouble. But everybody who does something wrong is going to try to hide it. So that's not really much of a surprise. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. There is one thing I'd hate to tell Tennessee fans, but it's just the truth. And that's coming up next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst, will be here for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.